Data Accelerator for Apache Spark simplifies the streaming of big data within Azure. It offers a rich, easy-to-use experience to create, edit, and manage Apache Spark jobs on Azure HD Insights, while enabling the full power of the Apache Spark engine. Encoding is optional. Jeff Staniff is here to show us how it works today on Azure Friday. Hey everyone, Donovan Brown here with another episode of Azure Friday. I'm here with Jeff, and we're going to learn about Data Accelerator for Apache Spark. So before we get too far, I don't even know what Apache Spark is.
Yeah, Apache Spark is just like plumbing for big data. It's a cluster for executing data in the cloud. It runs in memory. It's kind of like 5 years old, so okay. It's fun. People are using it, and it's really great for performance.
Got it. So anyone that's in the big data arena is going to know what Apache Spark is, right?
Yeah.
And now what we're talking about is a data accelerator for that particular service.
Right. So when we started out a couple years ago building a production system, we didn't have a lot of tools that worked at the scale we were looking for. So we moved into Apache Spark because it was fast and it could keep up with our demands. But a lot of the quality of life pieces around it just didn't exist yet. So we spent a lot of our time building these components so that you have a rich environment for developing and managing your pipeline.
Okay, got it. So show us what you're going to show us today. So this is called the Data Accelerator.
Data Accelerator. Okay. Yeah, and we open sourced this in April, so the community can get in and use it themselves and get started pretty quick. We have two ways to get started. The first is you have an ARM template, so you can deploy it straight into Azure with a default setting. The other is we have a Docker image, so you can put it on your own desktop machine and do the experimentation without working in Azure directly.
Okay.
Right, so when you first do a deployment, you're gonna see this right here. It's our portal. It has all the tutorials that we have in our GitHub repo are here as well. There's about 20 of them for your on-box scenarios and 25 of them for the cloud.
Okay.
So we get you right through all the capabilities straight away. It's easy to get started and get going.
So when I deploy this to Azure, this is what I'll see. Or if I run the container locally on my desktop and I go and I go to the right port on my web browser, this is the experience I'm going to get immediately.
Exactly. You're going to be here.
All right. Perfect.
Right. And the first place we want to go is straight to flows. Flows are basically pipelines. So anytime you want to take data from one place to another in Azure, that's a pipeline.
Okay.
And we are going to go right into the IoT sample. The IoT sample here is pre-configured. It's one of our tutorials.
Okay.
We have the tabs here in order on the left so that you go down the steps that you would do when you're configuring your own pipeline. So first you'll name it, not a lot to do there. Now we get to how you're going to define it. Data Accelerator provides streaming right now. We're working on batching that should be out in the next few weeks. We have a number of data sources you can connect into the streaming pipeline so we can source from these various places. We have the name of your hub for this case, your connection information. We have your subscription ID and a bunch of data around all the configuration options you need in order to connect Data Accelerator to your data source, which may be in a different subscription, and your output destinations, which may also be in a different subscription.
Got it.
It's a full mini-to-mini situation here.
Okay.
Right. Once you've done this configuration, your pipeline will deploy. And then we move on to the rules. The things you're going to do on the data as it comes through.
Okay.
For this, we have a few by default in this scenario. But as you can see here, we have a query builder interface. You can construct your rules on your data set without writing any code right here.
Okay. So does the data have to come in JSON or XML or?
That's a great question, because on the next step, we get right to an example of what we call implicit schema detection.
Okay.
We have, that was actually right here. So we have a get schema button right here. And what it does is it samples the data flowing through your event hub for like 15 seconds in this case. And it identifies all the JSON it finds. And it groups it together and loads it into the object model for the rest of the tool to use.
Got it. You said JSON, though. So I just want to be very specific. If my data source is generating XML, it won't work?
It reads everything that makes it into an event hub. So once it's in an event hub, then we read it, and we still store the schema as JSON.
Got it.
Yeah. The rules know about that object model. So when we say pick, you know, what kind of event type,
it already
preloads. But we can go a step deeper. If you're like, you want to get in and actually write the queries yourself, we have that ability right here.
Gotcha.
The demo ships with a large number of basic queries, which are showing you what it all does. Some of the interesting things we have here is we have an output macro that we've added to Spark SQL. It basically wraps up how you put your data in a particular location after you're done. Because there's a lot of ways you can fat finger and mix up your output. And this just macros it for you, so you don't have to write that code and maintain it.
Okay.
We also have things like windows, windowing, sliding windows, tumbling windows, so that you can aggregate your data and, you know, wait for late events or pull in the things that you're missing before you move on. The last piece of this is, and motivated by a lot of our experience starting up, when I would work and write a script, it would be submitted to the cluster. The queue would be about 2 hours long. This provisioning and execution is about 15 minutes, and then my job would take 2 minutes, right? So I'm waiting 2 hours just to see whether or not, you know, I wrote something wrong. So I'm going to go ahead and, you know, do something wrong here.
Right.
And what we're going to do is we're going to see a real-time running experience. What we've done is we've sampled your kernel. And now, instead of waiting 2 hours to go through that queue and to fight for everyone else for resources, write that. I got the answer. Gotcha. So I can go and I can fix my code.
So this really helps your inner loop.
Yeah, it does.
Got it.
It really, really tightens it up, right? So I think, oh, it doesn't handle the spaces. I've run it again, right? Whoops. And it says select a query.
There you go.
There we go. Right, so I get my feedback straight away, and now it's saying it doesn't recognize the type, and it's like, of course. I have a tuna sandwich right here, and if I go down here, I have a status. So.
Gotcha. Right. And this would be really painful if I had to wait.
Exactly. If you're waiting 2 hours on each iteration.
For a typo.
Yeah, you're spending a lot of time not getting a lot of value.
Got it.
So we banged that up so that we could get the right here.
Got it.
And now we've got it all.
When I heard the title Data Accelerator, for some reason in my mind, I immediately thought about just speeding up the ingest of data. But this is actually providing a lot more value. This is actually almost like in a development environment, which allows me to have a much tighter and quicker inner loop of my development process.
Yeah, that's a big focus. We are the developer tools organization who built this.
Okay.
So for us, this is the VS Code editor that we have. Right. You can change themes. We have IntelliSense. It's all right there in the code.
And it's completely web-based, so it means you can access it from anywhere once you have it deployed in Azure or even if you're wanting to work
locally. Once you have access to your subscription and your portal, then you can just get what you need here. So if we pop out, it's not going to do it.
You're just trying to get IntelliSense as
well?
So just get rid of status and then dot after details, I suppose.
It's not. There we go.
There we go. Gotcha.
Yep. So, so it knows everything about the schema we detected earlier.
Absolutely.
And this is great when you're dealing with real systems because we'll have thousands of versions of the product in market at the same time or the piece of hardware. So you'll have small variations version to version, and the schema is going to say, these all look the same.
Gotcha.
So it's going to help you paste over how to get from one to another in the same document model, which is usually like an 8-hour operation for just onboarding your schema types.
And with you showed this one as an IoT example. So this could be data coming from an automobile or from a factory or from anywhere where we have all these small devices sending tons of data. We now have a very easy way for us to be able to create the rules and that inner, like I said, I keep talking about the inner loop because we have it as even non-big data developers, right? There's that time that you spend on your machine trying to build that, and you want to make that as efficient as you possibly can such that you can find those errors before you push it out to be deployed, which is what we were able to do now.
Right, exactly. You could be production ready before you hit go, before you push it at all.
Very cool.
Which is awesome. And it's super critical because you've got 20 years of legacy to work with if you're in IoT. That's a production piece of hardware deprecation cycle, right? And if you've got a product that's been out for a long time, Visual Studio IDE, it's a very old product at this point. You have data over many, many versions. So pulling it all together and being able to work across it very quickly has been a great, great win for us.
Cool.
And of course, you know, we've got the theming as well. It's right there.
You gotta have the dark theme. All the cool kids use the dark theme, exactly.
That's right. So we can get our rules and execute them very quickly. We can also do more. We can add in reference data. A lot of people will have fact tables that they just know about their environment. And you'll want to be able to say, this temperature sensor is located on this row in this warehouse in this city in this state, right? And that's where you pull this in.
Gotcha.
You can define it anywhere.
Okay.
We also pulled in functions. So you can come in and add user-defined functions, Azure functions, anything you need. You can write your code, you can have it there, and we can just reference it while we're executing in the pipeline.
Gotcha. So this is a way for me to almost have like a filter or some type of data manipulation as part of my pipeline that I've written myself,
exactly.
Not relying upon what
exactly.
You've provided.
And you can leverage the work your company or your team has done over years and put it right into your pipeline today.
Perfect.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The last piece we have here are outputs where you send it. We support blobs, Cosmos DB, Event Hubs, so you can send it from Event Hub to Event Hub, and SQL database. And also, okay. By default, we have a metrics dashboard.
Okay.
And for scale, there's a couple sliders, simple for up and down scaling it for you.
Okay.
The metrics board here that comes with it is going to give us summaries of what's going on your pipeline.
Okay.
Each of the rules you set up shows up as a metric. So you build your rules, and it's right here. The samples are powered by a simulator for events.
Okay.
So you don't need to plug it into a live event hub to get started. You can see it all going from the start.
Okay.
That's great. And so for this case, we've already ingested 70,000 events today. And we have, you know, our closed alerts have gone off a number of times.
Okay.
These alerts now paste in a web page, but you could also, you know, plug in, like have it text you or have it
okay.
send an email. So you can get your alerting right here out of your pipeline.
Awesome.
Yep.
And then you said this is all open source, right?
Yeah, we've open sourced this entire pipeline.
Okay.
For us, we've been using it in production for 2 years.
Okay.
We have a very large deployment. We're handling terabytes a day. That's big.
Yeah.
The open source project we put out there, we're maintaining. We're running it right off of that repo.
Okay.
So we've gone ahead and we've added support for Kafka. We were adding support now for Databricks.
Okay.
And we're listening to feedback. So if people are taking this in a direction that we hadn't thought of or see something else to bring together, we're right there. We're interested in that.
And where do they go to contribute that?
So to get to that, we have our GitHub repo right here, github.com, Microsoft Data Accelerator. And as you can see, we have our code and issues. And straight here, this is very similar to the portal we saw. Again, all the information that you need to get started is right here in the GitHub page.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We are learning all about Data Accelerator for Apache Spark here on Azure Friday.